Book and you brought it back with you. I want you to take it out. I have left a copy with Miss Kathy to take and so on. You all may not get anything out of that book, Miss Kathy, but you can take it, and if you get one thought of even about what not to do, that would be good, you know. And if you're following along, turn to page number 41. That's where we're at, page 41. We're in the middle right now of our members, just talking about church membership. Now, again, this book is simply an introduction to this church, who we are, what we believe, why we believe it, what we teach, how we function. Now, we have run out of these books again, which is a good thing, because that means we have gone through, glory, I guess 750 of these things. So some of you are shame on you. What you're doing is every Sunday night you're forgetting and saying, give me one of those things, you know what I mean? Now, don't do that now, all right? Unless you're going to give them out, that'd be good. But I like for our children to even have a copy of this. We'll get some more of these, okay? Miss Brenda, if you'll help me remember to tell Brother Andy, again, we need to order some more of these, that would be good. Let's pray. We've got about 15, 16 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever it is. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me encourage you again. It's a privilege to be a member of a local independent Baptist church. It's an honor to be considered a member. Let me say this to you. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of this church, please do not let this force you. Please do not let this pressure you. I tell folks who are even considering joining this church, I tell folks don't feel any pressure from me. I don't believe in pressuring people. I believe in you praying, seeking the Lord, because God wants He will tell you if He wants you to become a member of this local church. Until He does, don't. Don't. Don't just do it saying, well, I think it could be His will. No, you wait till it's God's will. But if God would lead you to join this church, it's a privilege. It's an honor. Because this is the house of God. Now, we've already looked at the reasons to become a church member. Page 41, we pick up with the requirements to become a church member. What are the scriptural requirements to become a member of a local church? Well, first of all is the new birth. You must be born again, as John chapter 3, verse number 7 teaches. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, notice this. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see the first requirement for church membership is the new birth. They must be born again. Let me say this to you. There are many churches who are allowing people to join their church without the new birth. And may I say this to you? That is condemning people. Because folks many times rely on church membership. Well, I'm a member of that church. I've got to be okay. Let me say this to you. If you're a member of this church, but you have never been born again, then you snuck in. Do not rest in church membership. You must be born again. You must accept Christ as your Savior. That's a biblical requirement. We see that in the New Testament. Second requirement is scriptural baptism by immersion after salvation. I use this one verse. There are other verses, but I use this one that I've already said, Acts 2:41. And they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In the New Testament, they were joined to the local assembly when they had received His word and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Now, notice the note here. If you've been born again and scripturally baptized, what scripturally baptized means is by immersion. You've been dunked. You haven't been sprinkled. You've been dunked, and so on. You can set up a meeting with me for further information regarding church membership. Now, this is just one thing that we do, and so on. If you're an adult, I like to meet with you first. Let me explain to you why I do that. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. But you'll notice when we go into the receptions to become a church member, in other words, how you can join the church, you'll notice that one of them is by reinstatement, by restoration after church discipline. In other words, church discipline is a missing thing today. There are a lot of churches that anything goes, and they never discipline their members. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but because of that, I like to meet with people first to make sure they know exactly what they're joining,
to know exactly what this church believes, to answer their questions, and then to make sure that they're not living in some kind of gross, open, public sin. Because, friends, we don't want somebody to join the church and then find out that they are living in a sin that could split the church and have to go the next week and call down church discipline on them. You understand what I'm saying to you there? So that's why we ask that you set up a meeting with me before you join the church, because I want to make sure that you've got your questions answered. I want to make sure that at least your heart's right with God, that you've been saved, that you've been scripturally immersed, and that as far as you know, your life is not... There's nothing open or I'm talking about immorality or anything open and so on that would be cause for church division if it comes out that we would have to discipline. So this is the requirements for becoming a church member. The new birth and scriptural baptism, then I have you meet with me to make sure that there's nothing for cause of church discipline in your life first. I hope that makes sense to you, okay? Now, let's notice the receptions to becoming a church member. In other words, how can people join this church? Well, the first obvious way is by baptism following salvation. This again is that same verse. This is why when folks are baptized here right now at this moment, they are becoming members of this local assembly because they have trusted Christ as their Savior and they are joining the church by baptism in accordance to Acts chapter 2 verse 41. So if you have been saved but never scripturally immersed in a church of like faith, then we would ask that you join the church by immersion, by baptism. Another way is by statement of faith. By anyone who, now notice this now, having previously been saved and scripturally baptized, finds it impossible or inadvisable to secure a letter from his previous church. The statement of faith includes personal salvation, obedience in baptism by immersion after salvation, and agreement with church doctrine. In other words, what we're taking is that if they're not a member of another church or they just can't get a letter from another church, whatever the case may be, as long as they're not under church discipline from that other church and so on, we allow them to join the church by statement. We are accepting what they say, in other words. They say they have trusted Christ. They're giving a verbal profession of their faith. They are saying by their statement that they have followed the Lord in believers' baptism in a church of like faith, and they are saying that they're in agreement with the doctrine of this church and all these kind of, there's nothing in their life and so on and so forth that would cause church discipline and all these kind of things. That's by statement of faith. Flip the page. You can join also by letter from a church of like faith and order and upon statement of faith and scriptural baptism. In other words, there are folks who are members elsewhere and it's a church of like faith, okay? We ask those people if they would like to join the church by letter. Now, you can notice the scripture references here, Romans 16, 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 3, 1, 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11. You can read that because it's right there in front of you. Let me just tell you one reason that we encourage people, if they are members elsewhere but they feel the Lord wants them to move their membership here, we advise, you don't have to, but we advise that you join by letter. That's basically an act of courtesy, is what it is. It's letting, you don't send the letter, our church does. You come here, you come up front, you want to join by letter, our secretary takes that, sends a letter to that church asking, you know, for a letter, whatever the case may be. And basically what that's doing is that is letting that church know that you have moved from their membership to our membership so they don't feel responsible for you anymore. Okay, so we allow you to join by letter. Or finally, I've already mentioned this, by restoration, after having previously been excluded from the membership of this church, membership may be restored by statement and evidence of repentance. This is Matthew 18, 15 to 17. Let me read this. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall, by the way, let me stop right there and say this. If Christians would do that right there, it would stop all kinds of things. It really would. By the way, if somebody ever comes to you and says, you'll never believe what he did to me, you'll never believe what she did, the first thing you need to do is not say, tell me, what did they do to you, sweetheart? Don't do that, come on. At that moment, it's gossip. At that moment, it is now gossip. The first thing you need to ask is this, have you gone to them first? Have you gone to them? If they say no, say, let me encourage you, obey the Bible. And if they've offended you, go to them in a right spirit. By the way, those meetings are never to tell somebody off meetings. Let's read this here. Those meetings are always with the goal of restoration. Always. Church discipline, friends, is the last straw. You should not go in and say, we're going to vote you out of the church. What would, no? No. You ought to go to that person first, alone, to try to restore them. Hopefully they repent, they get things. And by the way, a lot of times that you think it was something wrong, it was just a miscommunication. Come on, friends. A lot of times it's just a miscommunication among believers, and somebody heard something that they really, I mean, they thought they heard it, but it really wasn't what they meant, and all of this, and somebody holds it against them for 6 months or 6 years or 60 years, never went and made it right, never got it right, and the whole time they didn't realize it was just a big misunderstanding. Go to them. Then it says right here, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Can I paraphrase? Go to him one-on-one. Hopefully he gets his heart right with God. If he doesn't do it, take two or three witnesses, plead with him again to get right with God. Still in private. It's still in private. It's still to restore. If he doesn't do it, tell the church. The church goes to him, would you please get this right? Please don't do this. Please get this settled. If he says, no, I'm going to do my own thing, then vote him out of the church, friends. He has no right to be a member at that moment. He ought to be cast out as a heathen. But then we ought to try to still try to restore him, and if he or she ever comes back in repentance and repents and it's evident and so on, the doors of the church should be wide open to him. Now, can I say this to you? That should never happen. But there's a lot of churches who are not willing to even take it that far. And we need to be careful. That doesn't mean that we bring everything up before the church. No, this has got to be gross sin. This has got to be public sin. This has got to be sin that's going to divide the church. It's going to cause division among the body of Christ. This is when I study this passage out. This is not just something that's in that person. No, it's something that can destroy the church, you see. You've got to deal with that. But people can join the church even after that's happened if they are restored by statement and evidence of repentance, okay? Now, let me just get started with this here. What are the responsibilities of a church member? There are several of them. The first one is this: attend the services faithfully. Now, if anybody ought to be faithful to church, it ought to be church members. Let me give you several reasons. I may only get started with this here because I really wanted to get to this part. Let me give you several reasons why we should be faithful to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, you're here tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. You're doing the right thing. Why should you be faithful every time the church is open? Well, first of all, notice God commands it right here on page 42. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, it's a good thing to be in the house of God. God's commanded it. He's commanded that when His people come together, don't forsake that assembling. Be faithful. Second, top of page 43, faithful church attendance is essential to the maturity of the Christian life. Now, I've already said this, but in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, I'm talking about in a previous lesson in this book, where it says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, and He's telling this church that He gave pastors and teachers, apostles and evangelists to that local assembly. So they are God's gift to that body, you see. God gives these men to the local assembly for the perfecting of the saints. Now, that phrase, again, carries the idea of mending the nets. That people are out fishing, they come in, their nets are tangled, their nets are cut, there's things entwined in it, so they drag their nets to shore, they mend their nets, they get them ready to go right back out and fish again. That's what church is. What I'm saying to you, God has made it to where you need the local church. Do you understand that? He's saying he gave the pastor and teacher and apostle and evangelist. Now, we know the apostle is no longer in existence. We understand that. But he gave these men to the local assembly to perfect the saints. You know what that means? You need perfecting. So do I. Which means we need what the pastor preaches. We need what the evangelist preaches. We need the teaching of the Bible. We need to read it, right? We need to have devotions, right? But we need to have a local assembly where the Word of God is preached and taught faithfully. We need that to perfect us. We need it to mature in Christ. This is why you ought to be here every service. Every service, when the Word of God is preached, God is speaking. And He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to perfect you. He's trying to make you take the next step in your Christian life. And let me say this to you. There are people who miss out when they miss on Sunday night and Wednesday night. There are some people in every church, the only service they're coming to Sunday morning. They're not, I don't care. It doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit of God was pastoring the church. They're not coming back Sunday night and Wednesday night. Just some people like that. They don't understand what they're missing. They need it. And let me say this to you. I need it. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us. The messages that I preach, I need. I get convicted. God steps on my toes. We need this. Let me give you a couple more of these, and then I'll draw this thing in here. Faithful church attendance encourages God's man. That's the pastor. 3 John 3:4, for I rejoice greatly. This is what John said when the brethren came and testified the truth is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. You don't know, you may never know what it does for me when I look out and see you sitting in your seat, service after service after service. It's just natural for a pastor to recognize where you sit. And it's natural when I look up and you're not there. You know, one of the first thoughts that goes through my mind, potentially, did I offend them? What's wrong? Now, maybe that's wrong, but I'm a human being, friends, okay? I realize sometimes there's vacations and all these kinds. Hey, you want to encourage me? I hope you do. Some of you probably don't. You want to discourage me, but anyway. You want to encourage the man of God? Be faithful in church. That encourages his heart. It really does. Let me give you this one, and then we'll. How many more of these I got? Good night. I've got another page and a half. Hallelujah. So let me just try to get through the rest of this page here. Okay. So three more. Are you with me out there now? Three more, and then I'll draw it in here. What did I say before? Did I say two? Honestly, did I say two? Did I? Then I'll do one more and keep my word. All right, one more. Here we go. Faithful church attendance gives the right representation of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Question. If the Lord Jesus Christ was walking in flesh, as he was some 2,000 years ago, if he was walking in flesh on earth, where would he be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You know the answer, don't you? Amen? You know he would be faithful to his house because he commanded it. And you know he's going to keep his own commands, right? So if God would do it and we represent him, then if we don't do it, we are lying to the world about who our God really is. Do you understand that? Do you see it? Now, these are simple thoughts. I know that. I understand it. But a responsibility of a church member, not just a church member, really a Christian, but especially a church member, the first responsibility is be in church. Be here. Because if you're not here, you're not going to get what God has for you that particular service. You potentially could discourage the man of God. You're not giving the right representation of God. and you've disobeyed a clear command. Now, we'll start right there. Thanks for reminding me that I said two, because I want to be a preacher that keeps my word. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. I pray you'll help us now to be faithful to you. Help us to trust you, to believe you, to obey you. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. She's just going to begin to play through softly. I know this is unique tonight. You've heard a testimony concerning England. And you've heard us just get a little bit further in this booklet tonight on church membership. But I never want to let a service come and go without giving folks who are lost an opportunity to trust Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you've never trusted Christ, momentarily, Brother Gary, begin to sing here in just a moment. If God's speaking your heart, you come. Or maybe the Lord's dealing with you about missions. You come. However the Lord's dealing with you, let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, would you come? Come now, would
you,
please?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
You can look this way. I'm going to ask Kathy and Lauren if you'll make your way out to the lobby. I know our folks will want to shake your hand. Let me say this to you as your pastor again. It's between you and the Lord. If you give her something tonight, that's between you and God. I'm not going to know. This is between you and the Lord. If God leads you to do that, do it. Do it. Let's ask God to help us. Bring the book back with you on Wednesday night. Would you do that? We may very well continue with that. Well, I may not, but I may. Just get in the habit right now until we're almost through this thing. And so get in the habit every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Just bring this with you. I may or may not be in it, but bring it with you at least. That'll be good. Okay? Let me remind all of those that went to England, adults and teens, and adults who had a teen go, the fellowship is for you downstairs immediately after this church service, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Nick Lingerfeld, sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.
Good job.